attracted you to this topic, Facebook?
Well, you know, Facebook is one of the most amazing companies that's ever existed. I kind of had a window into that very early, both because I met Zuckerberg and realized what an astonishing person and entrepreneur and thinker he is. But then just being a close observer, I started seeing it growing and growing and growing. And now, here we go, we have this company that when my book is finally out, is at 500 million active users, still run by a 26-year-old kid, with this astonishing database about people, with this incredible pattern of having convinced people to put all their data in the system, but with a lot of questions swirling about whether that data really can be trusted in there, whether Facebook really is the right guardian for that data, with all the questions that are swirling about privacy, with enormous implications for marketing, with every application company and software company in Silicon Valley trying to figure out how they can leverage the Facebook platform, and with it having an impact on government and all kinds of political activism that's emerging there around the world. It's an extraordinary story, and I feel just super privileged that I had the chance to write about it. It's not like any company I've ever seen.
Did you have access to him, total access?
I had extraordinary access to Zuckerberg, and because he supported the project, pretty much everyone else at the company and many of his colleagues and friends outside the company. So I had, I've worked as a business journalist for 25 years. I never had this kind of access on any story I've ever done before. And the book really, I think, reflects it, because there's amazing stories in there that you read and you think, who the heck could have possibly told him that? And these people don't know what not to say because they're only 25 years old.
This all started, for those who don't know, started very modestly where? At Harvard?
At Harvard University, when Mark was 19 years old in February of 2004. And all he was trying to do was to create a online Facebook, which is the little picture book that they give out freshman year to college students. And they wanted to have it in digital form so they could search through it and stuff. And the college was refusing to do it, or was delaying doing it, and Zuckerberg said, hey, I can do it, I'll do it. And he also had come to believe that social software was going to be a huge, huge transformative phenomenon, so he definitely considered it something that was not a idle project. But it was one of only a number of projects he had that year. It just happens to be the one that took off, and his attitude toward it really changed over time. I mean, one of the amazing things about Zuckerberg that I write in the book is that it wasn't until Facebook got to be about a million users in the fall of 2004 that he decided to drop another project he was working on to focus his full time on Facebook, because up until that point, he had really been thinking, yeah, it's cool and kind of seems like it's working, but, you know, it's not necessarily what I'm most interested in. I mean, this is bizarre. This is not your typical entrepreneur.
Seems like MySpace was in the lead there for a while, for lack of a better term, and, yes. And Facebook was kind of the thing for college kids.
Yeah, MySpace was ahead of Facebook for the first two and a half, three years of Facebook's history. And but the difference was that Facebook, number one, was founded on genuine identity. So it was based on your real name, and that gave it incredible capabilities that MySpace lacked. MySpace being a system which was mostly built around pseudonyms and role-playing. But second of all, I think maybe even more profoundly, Facebook was a technology company. Mark Zuckerberg, young as he was a real computer scientist. And he really wanted to make Facebook into something that continued to evolve and improve and really work as sophisticated software. And MySpace, by contrast, and also Friendster, which was the other predecessor system, were both started by kind of party guys, people who really just wanted to meet chicks, really, and they created a system to allow themselves to do that and other people to do it, and it worked for that for a while, but it wasn't really a technology approach. And faced with Facebook's incredible, relentless, innovative energy, neither MySpace nor Friendster really were able to keep up.
What's it's hard to say in a few words, but what's Zuckerberg like? I've heard he's a bit of an eccentric.
Well, he's an eccentric in that he's something of a—he's a real nerd, programmer type, likes to stare at the computer and program all day. He's not antisocial like some people. I think he's more social than, for example, Bill Gates, who he shares certain characteristics with.
Hmm.
He's very, very intellectual. He's very, very principled. He's very—he really thinks hard, and he loves to talk about ideas, and he loves to to come to conclusions about ideas and then put his ideas into practice in computer code. And he's extremely good at that. And in a way, even to this day, you could argue that Facebook is just one big experiment in his mind that happens to be working. But he's really always trying to push the envelope, and he gets tremendous pleasure out of that, a lot more than he does building a business. In fact, the very first time I met him, I complimented him on seeming to be a natural CEO, and he was offended by that. And he said, business is just a good vehicle to get stuff done. You know, he really didn't want to think of himself as a CEO. And one of the challenges that Facebook faces now is that he has to be a CEO, and he's still only learning to do it. And, you know, he's got huge challenges that he faces as a leader, as Facebook, with 500 million users, is having an impact in countries all over the world, and government regulators are coming down and asking questions about privacy and security and the role that Facebook has. And, you know, he's really got to learn to deal with that. And as a nerd who really would rather be staring at the computer screen, it's not the most natural thing for him to be out there negotiating with government leaders.
Facebook doesn't have advertising at this point, does it?
No, it does. It has quite a bit of advertising.
Oh, it does.
In fact, it'll have almost $1 billion worth of advertising this year. But the one thing about Facebook that's amazing is that the ads are so unobtrusive that you really can use it without barely noticing them. And, you know, that's one of the more amazing things about it. And that also reflects another quality of Zuckerberg, which is that he doesn't like advertising. And he doesn't really, he doesn't think of himself as a businessman, and he doesn't like advertising. And if it were up to him, you know, Facebook would almost be a nonprofit. I mean, not quite, but almost. And so they really only take as much advertising as they need to pay their bills so far. And that's something that's been very controversial in the tech industry. People think they don't know how to be a proper business because they're not really trying to exploit this incredible social penetration that they've achieved and the unbelievable amount of time that people spend on Facebook. You know, you have 130 million Americans on Facebook, spending an average of 7 hours a month there, according to Nielsen. And that's an advertiser's dream with all the data that people put about themselves there. But Zuckerberg's not that interested in taking tremendous advantage of that.
I never really noticed the ads. I'm on it occasionally, but I never paid any attention to it.
But that's testimony to the nature of the system. It's very easy to miss them. You know, they're not in your face, and that's by design.
It seems like Facebook and Twitter are often mentioned in tandem now. We're on Facebook and Twitter. That's what we say here at the station, as a matter of fact. Can you envision a merger, that sort of thing?
Well, there was a period when Facebook was very terrified of Twitter. About a year and a half ago, Twitter was growing very, very rapidly, and Facebook wanted they seriously considered buying it, and they made an offer reportedly for $500 million worth of stock to buy Twitter, and the Twitter leaders refused it. But then what Facebook did was they kind of took a lot of Twitter's features and incorporated them in Facebook, and I don't think that Twitter represents nearly the threat to Facebook that it used to. Twitter's different from Facebook in that it's not based on genuine identity, at least not by definition. And when you subscribe to someone's feed in Twitter, they don't subscribe to you. With Facebook, a friend relationship is two-way. I friend you, you friend me. That's the way a friend relationship works. On Twitter, I just follow you or I follow your radio show, and you don't even necessarily know who I am, and you don't care. You just know that you have one more follower. And that's a very valid and valuable system, but it's quite different than Facebook.
What's the reaction been to the book so far?
Well, I've gotten tremendous reviews from all over the place, and I've been very gratified by that. People in tech are kind of getting obsessed with it, because one of the odd things about the book is because the company opened up to me so much, I have more detail in there about what it was like creating a company and what it's like to be an entrepreneur and, you know, how they dealt with problems than you very often see. I mean, it's really, I think, in a way, a handbook for entrepreneurship, because these people told me so much about what they did wrong as well as what they did right because they were so candid with me. And so also, Facebook has become so huge in the landscape in technology and marketing that people in those industries almost really have no choice but to understand Facebook. So there's a lot of good reaction that I'm getting.